Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, this is just for the web. So you're listening to this on Audio Boom, Wendy's Coffee House in the podcast archives, because there's so much going on right now. I don't have enough time to talk about it. I also don't have enough time to get all the guests lined up. And even when I do get the guests lined up, then I get backlogged. So I decided to go ahead and just wing this one and give you some ideas about the information going on right now. Of course, there are a lot of people under lockdown, just being told to stay at home and shelter in place. And that's what's going on all over the world, okay, not just in the United States. And what that means depends on where you're at. For the U.S., it's when you're doing this with the coronavirus pandemic, it's clear it is supposed to mean you are supposed to stay at home. However, there's also something called essential, if you have to get out and about, essential travel, essential activities. And there are exceptions to that, and it depends on where you are as to what that involves. CNN has some wonderful resources for this. The CDC also has resources, and you can find those websites. I've posted some on Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot. But do your due diligence. Whatever you hear, wherever it comes from, check your resources, recheck your resources, and make sure you're getting the most current and most reliable information. Some of the epidemiologists who are trying to get their information out in some way, shape, or form have been blocked or redirected or rerouted, because we also have some issues right now. Facebook has had some issues with, they call it a bug that has been taking off anything related to coronavirus, good, bad, or indifferent, just going ahead and bouncing it because they're, I think, unable to keep up with the flow. So that's part of our reality now, is that some of websites that we rely on and we, you know, consider reputable or at least accessible to possible points of interest with legitimate information are unavailable. So do your best at this point. In the meantime, though, the show I focus on includes metaphysical, spiritual, phenomena, okay? It isn't always explainable by our current science, and it happens. And that's why I loved doing the interview with John Foster, John Foster UFOs, because that really hits the heart of the matter. Here's a guy who had 4 decades of experience that when he remembered it, it gave him 3 heart attacks because it didn't fit with his idea, his belief about reality. He had some suspicions about UFOs and that kind of thing, but he had no idea the extent of his own experience. And it also dovetails into the stuff that's coming out about the new Skinwalker Ranch. Got to say that right. The Watcher was kind of a Freudian slip, because what they're doing right now, the owner that bought it from Robert Bigelow, and you, if you haven't read the book, The Search for the Skinwalker and all that, this is a fascinating story and definitely one of those rabbit holes that you want to get into without having to experience some of the stuff these guys experienced firsthand. Some of the stuff, what they were saying was it could have been, on the whole, an experiment on human involvement and the reactions that humans have being put in a paranormal hotspot like that to see what happens, all right? Some of these guys and the current owner said that his people have had things that experienced violence and been hospitalized as a result. This information comes from Motherboard. It also comes from an interview with Jeremy Corbell, and it also comes from George Knapp, who also wrote the book, co-wrote the book about Skinwalker Ranch, and is associated with Robert Bigelow. In other words, it means he has contact. It's like, okay, so he can get information firsthand that a lot of us can't. The other thing, too, is that the new owner, the current owner of Skinwalker Ranch, who finally went public, a businessman there in Utah, he finally went public, and at first he did the interview with Jeremy Corbell, and kept him, it was anonymous. But he said the point was that he wanted other people to know what's going on, and he purchased it with the idea of debunking Skinwalker Ranch. And that has completely gone off the charts now that they have had research and involvement with stuff, you know, high strangeness, we would put it, because it's all across the board, that they can't account for. And one of the quotes that I got in listening to one of the stories, and you can do this, I'll put the links on the website, and if you haven't seen it already, I'll put some links there just so you can go through and take a look. Because if you're at home and you're looking for something to do that's not too, let's say, stressful, and that also gives you some room to contemplate what else might be out here, this is one of the quotes from the new owner of Skinwalker Ranch. The truth he wants people to know is that we are not alone. Now, mystics, mediums, intuitives have all been saying this all along. My own experience having these things happen to me says there's more going on here than we can ever, in some way, shape, or form, define, all right? Not by our current science, but we have to keep experiencing this so that we have some kind of platform, some kind of template, some kind of blueprint, so we can eventually get on the same plane with our language, so we can identify these things. And it was really cool when I talked with Ray Hernandez, and he's one of the people who's behind the free organization. That's for people who have experienced UFO or anomalous contact of some kind. And that website also was promoted by Dr. Edgar Mitchell. He was one of the founders, and they attribute that to him as well. When Ray got him to sign on board, that was one of the big coups. So anyway, with that, he was saying that they had their own experience seeing a UFO, monster, ginormous UFO outside the house. His wife experienced a healing. Ray was out, down for the count. He was unconscious while his wife experienced, she had been praying for help for their dog. And what she experienced while Ray was down for the count was a healing. And she said the angels came. And Ray even says, well, she sees angels and I see aliens and ETs. So, you know, we're both seeing the same thing, only differently. That's a clue. That's a clue. Wherever you are in your development, whatever you believe, whatever you buy into, determines how you're going to perceive it. And that's important. That's one of these things that when you watch the ghost-busting shows and all the ghost chasers and stuff like that, when they go in and start screaming and yelling, show yourselves, it's like, well, the only person who's invisible is you. Because you're the one who doesn't get that they see you, that you're the visitor, you're the tourist. And that says a lot in itself, that if you go in respectful and say, if there's something here that would be helpful for me to know, can you fill me in? And be prepared, because all bets are off once you open that door. But at the same time, that's what it takes to go forward, and that's what's happening. Now, back to, because I digressed, the guy who's the current owner of Skinwalker Ranch, he said, in addition to, he wants everyone to know the truth that we are not alone. And of course, that's going to be coming up on the show featuring Skinwalker Ranch. He said what they are witnessing are events and phenomena that seem to be able to in some way, shape, or form, manipulate space-time in a way that we currently simply cannot explain. That's fascinating. And it's fantastic. And it's essential for us to continue questioning these other kinds of anomalies, this paranormal imprint that we are getting with direct contact in some cases. So not everybody gets to have direct contact, and maybe you don't want it. But at the same time, if you do, and it's hard to talk about with family, friends, people in your social circle, there are places to go. There are people who have had the same or similar experience who say, okay, Let's get on the same page and talk about the details, what happens behind the scenes. When I talk with Paula Harris, who's one of the people who has done a lot of shows and interviews and trying to get out information about UFOs, ETs, and anomalous, I think one of the things she was experimenting or looking at was, giants, you know, the legends that there were giants here and that they have skeletons. And right there, she's on site looking at these skeletons and saying to all the people who were trying to discount and discredit her that, look, I'm standing right here as they're digging them up. It's real. For whatever it's worth, every one of us has a unique perception of reality. And for some of us, these things will not appear. We will not have contact. We won't have an interaction. We won't have an engagement. That isn't bad or good. That's where we are in this space-time. Reality is more like a bubble. And so each person who is here has a way of interacting, engaging, responding, receiving, perceiving reality that may not mesh with the person standing right beside you. That is how it works. So when you're looking and seeing a UFO, Uri Geller talked about being in a car, and there were four or so, maybe three or four other people, and he's seeing the UFO in front of the car, and he's saying, whoa, isn't that cool? And they have no idea what he's talking about. No idea, because in their time frame, on their plane, it doesn't exist. And that's also what John Foster UFOs, what he talks about, being in large groups of people, one even at a football experience there in Nebraska. And he has diagrams in these things too, which is really helpful because he was able to remember and start documenting, which took him about 14 years to put this stuff into books. And then he redid the books because he wanted to make it even more condensed and include a few more informations to help possibly define and refine what he was trying to explain. Anyway, he was in groups with large numbers of people, and some remembered, others don't remember, and others, while they were there, it was obvious that they didn't even register something was happening. The cool thing was later on, he would be in groups and recognize people that he had seen before, people who had been with him on these excursions. And that was also helpful because those who remembered him as well helped him reconcile that this wasn't fiction. It wasn't his imagination. It happened. And that's also part of it. I wanted to interview him because he's in his 80s. And while we have people who are still able to talk about this, it's incredible to be able to have that contact and get the, you know, firsthand information. Back to the Skinwalker Ranch. So that's what's happening with the Skinwalker Ranch. They are continuing to conduct, they've got cameras, they've got set up there so that they can document this to the best of their ability to show people. He says, I want people to know that this is real, that this is happening and it's ongoing. And will he let people come on the site and do their own paranormal investigation? No. He says that would be irresponsible because the stuff here is happening and it isn't. They can't guarantee that it's a safe place for every single person who crosses that barrier. So anyway, that one is fascinating. The other stuff that's going on right now, and this is how, when we have downtime, when we are forced to, in some way, shape, or form, curtail and shift, change our activities, it's also a time that we have to explore and to invest in some kind of self-awareness and upgrade. So to me, what this is, I do not want to lose any of my close relatives, my friends, my family, my social circle. I don't like that about this time, when we're dealing with a pandemic. And hopefully later on when I listen to this, it'll be way behind us. But right now we're dealing with a pandemic. And so I would prefer not to have to go through some of the things that are possible dealing with people getting sick and passing on. So that being said, when we are in this state, and in this in-between of not knowing how long it's going to last, not knowing what's going to happen, who's going to be affected, how our lives are going to change, there is an opportunity for a reset. And with the reset, you can give yourself permission to explore, to step back, to take advantage of your own free time, not to worry, not to stew, not to imagine and project the worst possible outcome, but to turn it around and say, how can I make this go forward for the best in my own world, my sphere, my society, my reality, possible outcome? How can I participate? And so what I do is go into how can I improve my own awareness, my insight, my abilities? One of the, in terms of what I've got in line, in mind, and on the YouTube channel, and in the archives, is all of the contact that I've had with people who have bona fide first account experiences with paranormal or anomalous events. And that's where I go back to say, okay, what inspires me? Who is it that I have more questions for? And how can I bring that forward? So one of the people that I also added is the niece of Ingo Swann. Ingo Swann was an incredible remote viewer, and his site is still active. I was really fortunate to hear an interview with him. And I don't know if it was the first time or if it was a replay with Art Bell when Ingo was talking about the kinds of things that he did and does. And so I downloaded from his website, because he wanted this information to be public at the time, the copy of Penetration. And this is, you know, it's a fantastic manuscript. And at the time, it was kind of purported to be half fiction, half real, because I think at that point he had signed a non-disclosure and it hadn't been released at that point. But he put it out as a potential reality. Well, then we find out later that there's a whole lot more to that story. And one of the cool things in there, they have upgraded the estate of Ingo Swann, his niece, has released another edition. This is the Penetration Special Edition, The Question of Extraterrestrial and Human Telepathy. And in that, there's a chapter, I believe chapter 9 is the upgrade to that, that it was in the second edition now. The upgrade is chapter 9, which talks about his remote viewing of Mars. Right now, we can't prove any of this, but we can't disprove it. So that's the fun part of following along. And then he also, this is posthumous, this was a manuscript he was working on, Preserving the Psychic Child. And that's the interview with Ingo Swann's niece that talks about what he wanted people to know about psychic awareness, psychic abilities, and what those kinds of things involve, and how to help somebody who has these experiences. And the worst things, the things you don't want to do, and the worst things to expect, like all the movies and stuff say, oh, once a child is psychic, then they're going to go AWOL and be really, really weird and start destroying everything. And that's completely and totally fiction. Okay, that isn't what happens. Anomalous things do happen, and they happen to anyone. If you have overwhelming amounts of aggression, if you're upset with something, if things aren't going the way you want, and you start seeing things break around you, or you have problems, Ed Edwards talks about, and that's because he's really worked on his energy. Ed Edwards, who's an energy worker and who has been tested and done some, allowed himself to be researched for science, done some demonstrations of what he can do with his PK energy. Well, a couple of things that he did before he was really good at kind of redirecting this was breaking computers because, and I've had this happen too, you have to kind of withdraw your energy so you don't cause everything to basically malfunction around you. So some of those things, and again, this is where our science has to come up and take it up a notch to be able to validate some of these things that we are saying that we've experienced. I had a friend who, whenever I would show up to help him or do some voice work, he said he always knew when I was going to show up because the lights would start blinking. And there were a few times when he called me, and this wasn't about me. It was about his own experience that CDs would pop out and drop on the floor. And it had to do with more of his own, I think, spirit guides and helpers. That's how I decided, you know, that's what the label I put on it. His own helpers were trying to get his attention. He had health issues. He had other things going on. Personal issues, and that was a way of saying, hey, pay attention. So he'd call me and say, what's up? I say, well, I don't know what's up with you. But these things are around us all the time. And dealing with that, Ingo Swann being a tremendous psychic and having those abilities validated, verified, given credit and credence by our CIA, for one thing, gives us, I think, permission to step it up and go more into what's going on with this? How can we explore? How can we learn? How can we manifest our own abilities at a higher level? And that, I hope, is what part of my shows are encouraging you to do, is to become more informed. The other thing, too, is to keep your imagination open. Keep looking for ways to inspire yourself. And some of that, Mystery Wire, George Knapp, he's a reporter in Las Vegas, and I really love his stuff. I've always liked his information. One of the things he did was he interviewed Carlos Santana, and the interview with Carlos Santana, which wasn't broadcast at the time. They I don't know what else was going on, but one of his files he re-released said, here's one that didn't make air. And it was an interview. He was asking him all sorts of stuff about his music and things like that, and Carlos Santana was remarking that George was a whole lot more open to this than he realized. And with Carlos, he said, only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible. And list that as one of the mantras that he likes. And part of that, too, is that when we're visualizing what can be done, we have to give ourselves permission to think outside the box. If it's already been done, that's great. Then that's proof it can be done. But things that haven't been done, that's where that visualization and that creativity comes in. And somehow this all came into play as I'm watching Eddie the Eagle. Eddie the Eagle. All right, this is abstract thought. It's what I do. So I was seeing what he was doing, and they were saying, you know, it isn't about how good you are. It's about the dedication and the belief against all odds that you can do something. And then you take your performance to the next level, because no matter what the naysayers, the doubters, the disbelievers, the critics, the pessimists say, the person who can do the job is the one who believes they can. They step up, they bring it, they don't listen to that negative stuff. Yes, it registers, and sometimes it can be in some way, shape, or form, I think, disheartening, and if you allow, depressing, but it doesn't suppress the desire to do what hasn't been done, to bring something new into reality. That's called manifesting. That's called imagining. That's called creating. That's called implementing your own core belief that you came here to deliver something of value. And that's why you're here. So that's why we're all here at this time doing some incredible, impossible, amazing things, because this is the time we have to work with, the time that has been given to us to see what is possible that has not yet been brought to the equation. And that's where the development of vaccines, that's where the development of new products and new ways of viewing science, of viewing reality, are happening right under our noses right now. It may be that somebody's already doing it in a lab. It may be that somebody's being born who will do it, taking a look at all the things that we have done and then embellishing and upgrading and bringing that next level into play. So that's what I get excited about when I'm looking at all the stuff that's happening. And then I go back to the things that make me curious, the things that I think are also inspiring on a different level. The haunted house, it's for sale. And this is one of those that's like $3 million, and it's a bargain. So the haunted house, do you want a haunted house? I've discovered that a lot more people live in haunted houses and don't talk about it because it isn't cool and it's spooky, and it might be something that people in their social circle would go that they were weird, or okay, so they just keep it to themselves. And it also makes it hard to go to work when you have to talk about things that other people don't believe in. So that's interesting that there are so many, I think, people who have experience living in a haunted house but just kind of keep it to themselves. So here's a haunted house that's public for sale, $3 million. And this looks like it's a bargain. Beautiful. It's in Monterey, California. Well, a bargain if you're out there. It also has a haunted history. And it's the original one-room Stokes Adobe House. And there, I'll put a link because I don't have time to go into all of it. But it's a 7,200 square foot, so which is like, you know, a one room. I don't know. I think it's been added on to since then. I'm not going to read the deep dive on it, but you can go there and find out more. It's also available at Mystery on the web, and I'm going to put the link, Mysterious Universe. That's another site that you want to go do a deep dive, because there's just so much information out that is uncorroborated because we don't put science behind it and think if science hasn't said it exists, then it doesn't or it isn't real. And there's a whole lot more to that, that science is changing in terms of bringing more information about what exists under the radar that might not yet be registered on our mainstream score, but is still happening, so that we can eventually put the math behind it and find out how it affects our reality. That's the cool thing. You know, we don't see a whole lot. The human vision is only able to see so much. And then when you bring an intuitive in, they say, well, I sense this or I feel this. And sometimes they do have that sense of sight. But then again, other people are around saying, well, I don't see anything. And whose reality at that point overrides the situation? The person who doesn't see or the person who does? And the results kind of speak for themselves. If you get legitimate information, you can follow it up, you can replicate it, you can see this does exist in our space-time for you, then that's how you go. It doesn't matter if your friends, your associates, the people in the same space as you say, I can't see it. It's up to you to bring forward what you can see and say, well, this is how I see it, this is what I see, and this is the difference it makes in my reality. This is how it works. It's how we bring it forward. So on the website and on the Mystery Wire, you can find more information from George. You can sign up for a newsletter. I just want to bring that forward because they're the topics that he talks about. One with Dean Radin, science shows how your mind can move things, but how? Okay, there's the science, and there's the things we can't see with a result that we can. Dean Radin. The other one, Modern Day Exorcist, and this is Father John Szasz, and I don't know if that's how I'm pronouncing if it's correct, but that's what it is, of Pennsylvania. He talks about him. There are other exorcists out there, and it's interesting how there's been kind of I think, more information and more people doing that kind of work. it isn't always about a negative entity, but if you are being influenced and you have you've seen results of that, then it helps to know that there's somebody out there who might be able to speak your language and help you shift the situation forward. The other, I'm trying to find my other piece of paper here. I've got a whole room full of this. It's just like, oh, yeah. Okay, there's another podcast called The Unexplained, and I picked up my book on that, and this is by, and I think if you have not heard it, it's one of the better podcasts out there dealing with things that are more like, you know, one step beyond the TV show. That's another fascinating deep dive if you have extra time to check into it. It's an old classic that was done right about just before Twilight Zone, about the same time, the early 60s, and they were trying to get true stories that happened that had no explanation, and they have a really, really good library of things that defy reason, ration, and logic, and they're all worth checking out. Again, that's One Step Beyond. Okay, that's video. I think that there's a bunch of free ones on YouTube. I got the DVD of different stories, but they're not all on that DVD. Unexplained is the podcast, Richard McLean Smith, and these mysteries are all the creepier for being true. That's from the Tatler on the front page of the book. Real life supernatural stories for uncertain times. Well, I think that qualifies. So there you go. You can do a deep dive. I'm keeping this show short so that you have time to listen and then run off and do whatever you need to do. But if you are at this point at home and looking for other things to check out and to occupy yourself, you can do movies. That's great. But there's also the things that keep you inspired and it just keep the mind going with positives rather than negatives. So there's virtual reality, and there's some really good online, web, free, don't have to have a subscription. You do have to have access to the internet. Videos, virtual reality videos. The ones with the roller coaster video. Okay, the minute I tried that, I got dizzy. So I went on to the space video. I like that a little bit. That was easier. My mom tried that and said, nope, that's the same thing. That might have been for the roller coaster. Anyway, one way or the other, the virtual reality videos right now are really pretty spectacular. So if you have access to tune out and need some time to de-stress and maybe in some way, shape, or form, get yourself in a higher vibration, higher frequency, better space, positive outlook, try playing around with some of those. The other thing are the cat videos. Yeah, they're out there and all sorts of them. All over the place, apparently, from one of the descriptions I saw from a video on CNN. They're not happy that all the people are staying home. I was like, okay, I like you. You're great. You feed me. But could you please get out of the house for a little more frequently? Uh-huh. So there are a lot of things happening right now that we have absolutely no control over. What we do have control over is our mindset, our frame of mind, our perspective. And you have full control over that. No matter what anybody else does to you, you have the power to turn around and make it work in your favor. So I hope wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you have access to a little free time for yourself to improve your outlook, your awareness, and your ability to manifest results that you can say, I did that. I'm doing that. I can. Because that's what this is about. This is time for us all to say, what else can I bring that will upgrade the reality of everyone around me while I'm upgrading my own reality? It's possible. It's extraordinary. And like Carlos Kent Santana had with his, I love this, with his belief and his mantra, only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. Well, that's what you have a chance to do right now, is to see the invisible, to do the impossible, and bring about a new reality through the equation we're working with right now. Take care. Wash your hands. Pay attention to the guidelines. If you are supposed to shelter at home, do what you can to make the best possible outcome for you and everyone that you love. I thank you for listening. I really appreciate your time and hope you find something of value that you'll be able to take forward with your people, your friends, your relations, and give us a cool outcome as well to look forward to. Till next time, stay curious, stay positive, and stay healthy. See ya. It's Wendy's Coffeehouse on KCMO Talk Radio. This is a webcast only.